America's Most Wanted is back. Help us track down the world's most dangerous fugitives.
The groundbreaking show returns. All new America's Most Wanted, this March on Fox.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So Elizabeth Vargas is ushering in a new era of America's Most Wanted, and they're locked and loaded with the latest technology in their quest to bring justice. America's Most Wanted returns this Monday, March 15th at 8 Central. To talk about it all, Elizabeth Vargas joins us tonight. Welcome in and congrats on this reboot.
Thank you. We're very, very excited to bring this iconic show back to Fox.
I was going
to
say, it's been a while since this series graced our screens. It was really appointment viewing, one of the most popular series on television for decades. So glad it's coming back.
It's really, you know, and it's great because we know that there's this insatiable true crime appetite right now for audience members. And I get it. You know, look at the New York Times bestseller list on fiction, or go to the movie theaters, you know, when they're all open and operating.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So many of those hit movies and best-selling books are all about true crime and mysteries and thrillers. And in this case, the stories are all actually true. It happened. But our show is the only show that takes it a step further and offers our viewers to actually do something about it, to bring justice and resolution to the victims of these fugitives, and for these law enforcement detectives, these cold case detectives who've been often searching for these fugitives for years, if not decades.
Well, and you've covered countless crimes in past lives, including hosting ABC World News Tonight 2020. And now this is kind of right. An opportunity for you to help close that loop on some of these cases that you reported on even.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we used to get letters all the time. I hosted 2020 for 13 years, and we would do an hour-long special and something, and then we would get letters weeks later saying, I think I saw this guy, or yeah. I might know something that could help. And we really didn't have a mechanism with which to do anything with that information. First of all, it was several weeks later, and we weren't working with law enforcement. In this case, we actually have, as we're on the air, teams of the, you know, U.S. Marshals and FBI agents standing by to take people's calls and tips. And, of course, now everybody has the ability, thanks to our iPhones, to instantaneously connect on all the different social media platforms, to text us, call us. There are many, many ways people can help out and offer any information that might help catch these guys.
Yeah, big difference from when this series first started. And, of course, it started with the tragedy, you know, the unfortunate tragedy in the life of the original host and producer of the show, John Walsh.
Right. He really turned his own heartbreak and tragedy in that horrific case involving his son into a mission. To find other fugitives and put them behind bars. And I think it speaks to the enormous need that victims of crime often feel to do something, to somehow make it better, if not for themselves, then for somebody else.
You know, I spoke to John Walsh some years ago, and when you hear his journey, you understand why he started the series.
I say everything was done to make sure Adam didn't die in vain. And I think a lot of people probably don't know, and a lot of the fans that I have or talked to, and the people who stop me in airports all the time, were may not have even been born when Adam was kidnapped. But in 1981, my wife and I, you know, had that wonderful American dream. We lived in Hollywood, Florida, small town. I thought Miami was too violent at the time. The cocaine cowboys were doing, you know, in the broad daylight shootouts in Miami. So we had lived up in Hollywood, and my office was in Miami, and I was building with my three partners our dream project of a lifetime, a $26 million hotel on Paradise Island that we had put everything into. And I went to work one day, and my six-year-old son Adam was kidnapped at the Hollywood Mall, literally feet away from his mother. And after the world's worst nightmare two-week search, and I mean, it was a nightmare, and not just in the fact that Adam was kidnapped, but the lack of resources and the lack of professionalism and cooperation by law enforcement was added to the nightmare. His remains were found. He was decapitated. And needless to say, destroyed that life that we had, the most unbearable and worst thing I think that can happen to a parent. And my hotel never... It finally opened way over budget. I couldn't function. I We were dying of broken hearts, and it was my wife's idea that we try to fight back. We had received about 40,000 letters just addressed to Adam's parents, Adam's family, Hollywood, Florida, and she answered every one of them, and so many of them were wonderful wishes and how did you find the strength to search and our prayers are with you and all the wonderful good things that people said, but so many of them were from parents of missing children, runaway children, not victims of non-custodial parental abduction. And they were asking, how did you get help? How did you get mount this giant search? Well, I mounted it with my resources and my three partners, and we knew about marketing and advertising, how to get things done. We were hotel builders.
Sure, sure.
And so it was her idea to create a center. And what people didn't know was the horrible response that we got and the ineptitude of that small police department and the huge mistakes they made in Adam's search and the fact that there was no search and there was no Amber Alert and no National Center. And the FBI in 81 refused to get involved in any children's issues, especially dealing with kidnapping. That was not their mandate. They observed the case and told the Hollywood police and me flat out that they were only, there were specialists in white-collar crime and mafia and organized crime. And it was just a nightmare. And I guess to keep from dying of broken hearts, we both started to saddle up. I went for the legislation because there was a bill called the Missing Children's Bill before Congress that would mandate the FBI put the name of a missing child in the computer, into their big National Crime Information Computer, the NCIC. And believe it or not, when Adam was kidnapped in 1981, the NCIC only held stolen boats, planes, cars, and one racehorse. No missing children, no unidentified dead, whether it was a child or an adult. It was a nightmare. So I started lobbying for the Missing Children's Bill, which was officially opposed by the FBI and the Justice Department. Started borrowing money and going to Washington, and Rave started the first center, which was called the Adam Walsh Center, out of a borrowed room in South Florida. And so we started our battle very small, very humbly, basically out of the garage of our house.
You know, I'm a TV history geek, and I was looking to see, John, what other shows followed. You know, you created America's Most Wanted, 25 years on the air. There was a CBS show that aired for like three months called Wanted, I think, back in the 1950s. That was about it. So this was really a groundbreaking show, and I was looking at, you know, it premiered on February 7th, 1988. It was only on 7 Fox-owned stations at the time, and within 4 days of the first broadcast, FBI 10 Most Wanted fugitive David James Roberts was captured as a direct result. There was proof right there in the pudding that this show was going to make an impact.
Well, the best part of that story, as you mentioned, is the fact that there was no reality television. I had turned Fox down for 6 months. They had come to me and said, caught me in a parking lot in Washington, D.C. Couldn't track me down. I was racing around the country, testifying state to state because state laws are so important, spending time trying to expand the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And they came to me and said, how would you like to be the host of the first reality television program modeled after Crime Watch UK, done by the BBC in Scotland Yard in England, and on a network that's only one night and has one show called 21 Jump Street with a fledgling musician off of Sunset Boulevard named Johnny Depp. And it's started by a guy named Rupert Murdoch. And what is reality television? Well, nobody's ever heard of Crime Watch UK. But 6 months later, when I agreed to do it, I said, I want it. It has to be done in D.C. We have to have a hotline. No cops answer the phone. My hotline operators, the public is afraid to talk to police. I learned that searching for Adam. And I need to let people do it anonymously. And I need that guarantee. And I want to pick the bad guys. And I picked David James Roberts. Never forget his name. He had raped 20-plus women in Indiana, released on parole. How do you get out after you rape 20 women?
Released on parole, exactly.
On parole. And he murdered 4 people, 2 of them small children. So when I asked my wife, I said, Rave, I don't know anything about television. I don't have a clue. They've asked me to do a pilot. And at the time, Adam's case hadn't been solved. And she said, you know what, John, what if they caught this guy? What if they caught this child murderer? He had escaped from prison. They had caught him previously and sentenced him to life without. He'd escaped from Indiana prison. He was out there 2 years. Every one of FBI's best manhunters was looking for him. And I said, you know, would you be okay with this, Revee? It may change our life. I'm sure we'll get threats because pedophiles have threatened us. And NAMBLA, which is a horrible North American Man-Boy Love Association, I had testified against them. They had threatened to kill Megan. And all this, we were going through all this nightmare stuff. And she said, she kept it very clear. She said, you know what? If you could catch this guy, we've never been able to catch Adam's murder. It's worth it.
And that was original host John Walsh. Now, the show helped to capture more than 1,100 criminals, including 17 on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. It helped reunite 43 missing children with their families. Elizabeth, tell us about what some of the cases that will be featured on this debut episode.
It's a variety of cases. They're not all violent crimes, for example, although, you know, in our very premiere episode, we do have a man who is a convicted killer and drug dealer who escaped not one, but two prisons, one of them a maximum security prison in California. Very dangerous guy, very good looking man, very charismatic, able to entice women to help him in much of his criminal activity. So we have that case. But then we also have a financial fraud case. We also have a couple who in Hawaii swindled millions of dollars away from senior citizens, and including taking their homes. And many of these senior citizens were cancer patients, really vulnerable people. This couple, when they were arrested, pulled off one of the most audacious escapes I think I've ever reported on. And we also have in our premiere episode a missing child, which is this is an issue near and dear to my heart. I've done, in the course of my career, so much reporting on true crime, over decades at ABC News and NBC News before that. I can't even tell you, I've sat across from victims, and sometimes it's hard to keep it together. You just, your heart is breaking for them. So to be able to offer them, a way to find resolution and get justice. I won't even use the word closure because it's cliche, and I don't think anybody ever gets closure. But especially with missing children, in this case, a mother who, fled with her 11-year-old daughter as soon as she got wind of the fact that a court was about to award at least joint custody, if not, primary custody, to the father of the child. And, he will be in studio with me. We think it's really important to keep a close connection to these victims of these crimes.
Well, I can tell you're shaking it up a bit, because when you think about the original America's Most Wanted, it seemed like it was a lot of violent crimes, but you're also going to be reporting on scams and fraud, as you said, child abduction. Yep. And of course, you'll do FBI's 10 Most Wanted list, but there's others from lower in the list too, and those are just as important.
They are. And, sadly, there's a surplus of people who have done horrible things to other people and have managed to escape. And, these people don't move to the moon. They're someplace.
Right. Yeah, right.
Interacting with someone. And that's what we're hoping to do, is to have people think, oh, wait a second, I was just there, or my sister lives there, and maybe she's seen this guy. There are all sorts of ways, but it is really important to remember that there is somebody someplace dealing with, interacting with these fugitives, and it's important we find those people and have them call in their tip.
We're talking to Elizabeth Vargas, host of Fox's reboot of America's Most Wanted, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN, and we're talking to Elizabeth Vargas, host of returning series America's Most Wanted, this Monday on Fox. So much has changed, from the original series with the advancement of DNA research. That has to play a big role here in the new version of the series.
Oh, my gosh. We have Paul Holes with us as one of our experts, who's a DNA expert who helped catch the Golden State Killer. You're absolutely right. Think of all the different ways we're now catching fugitives and closing cold cases because of the advent of technology. It's just, I can't overstate enough the difference in technology from the time the show went off the air 10 years ago until today, and the tools that can give us and law enforcement and our audience to help them more quickly and more efficiently identify and catch these guys.
What about some of the other advances you'll be using? I was reading about 3D avatars, augmented reality.
That's my favorite.
Which one?
That's
the avatars?
My favorite one.
yeah, I bet.
The avatars. They're unbelievable. They're, I'm standing next to them. They're life size. I get to walk around them, point out things on them like distinctive tattoos, or in the case of one of our suspects, he has a deformity on his thumb that even if he were able to change his appearance radically or dramatically, he wouldn't be able to change that.
Yeah,
so that's
always
something for our viewers to keep a lookout for. But yeah, it's really, really cool. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. But we also have augmented reality where we can take people inside the crime scenes and walk through them, showing people different pieces of information that might help them recognize a fugitive or his or her MO.
Well, and the age progression technology, I remember back in the day of the old show, it would be kind of more of a pencil sketch. I mean, the way you can do it now and really see where people are decades later, how helpful
is that? Well, it's all computer generated now. And remember, this age progression technology, these FBI agents are working with medical illustrators who understand bone and the sinews and the tissues. And for example, as we grow old, our noses and our ears never stop growing.
What?
So
what?
They're able to. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
yeah. Oh, I feel it.
They're able to, in a very accurate way, show us what they think, these age progressed fugitives, get with these old photographs, what they might look like today. I keep wanting to do an age progression thing on me. Like, show me what I'm going to look like in 10 years.
Wouldn't that be nice to know? Yeah, that would be great to know. And then
how bad is it going to be?
Stop. But with all the social media and all the streaming stuff through Fox too, there's also going to be an after show for this as well, right?
Yeah, I'm not involved in the after show, but there is. I believe Nancy Grace will be doing that. But I think that, listen, there's a lot of people have very strong connections to this show and the IP, the intellectual property around this show. They love it.
Yeah.
And like to discuss it, and they can go on and debate, where do you think he is, and all sorts of things. Whatever we can do to keep the conversation going, because that will increase the chances that somebody will recognize these guys and call in.
Absolutely. You're from New Jersey. You went to school in Missouri, started your TV career in Reno, then on to Phoenix. Before you worked here in Chicago at CBS, too. I mean, you spent quite a bit of time here.
I did. Boy, you really did your homework.
Thank you.
Yes, I remember when I left Phoenix, Arizona to move to Chicago, everybody in Phoenix was like, are you crazy? It snows there.
Yeah, but you grew up in Jersey, so you know snow.
I have to say, those 3.5 years in Chicago, I loved Chicago. When NBC hired me, I tried to work out a deal with NBC where I could stay in Chicago and be the, Midwest correspondent for NBC News. But they made me an offer I couldn't refuse in New York City, so I moved to the headquarters there. But I still have very fond memories of Chicago. I loved living there.
Yeah, you were saying NBC, and then your longest stretch of your career was with ABC for over 20 years. That's pretty amazing.
23 years.
Yeah.
It was great. I got so many opportunities there. I'm very grateful for those opportunities.
And now the reboot of America's Most Wanted, which premieres Monday at 8 Central on Fox. Really, really looking forward to this and seeing all the technology. Break a leg on Monday, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.